From CITI Program, I'm Darren Gaddis, and this is On Campus. Today, what is monkeypox? What should higher education administrators, faculty, and students know? And how can we prevent the spread of the disease on campus? I spoke with Philip Chan, associate professor in the Department of Medicine at Brown University, about monkeypox at higher education institutions. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide legal advice or guidance. You should consult with your organization's attorneys if you have questions or concerns about relevant laws and regulations discussed in this podcast. Additionally, the views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the presenter. Hi, Phil. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Phil, today we are going to talk about the timely topic of monkeypox. There has definitely been a lot of information about monkeypox in the news recently and also online. To get us started, what is monkeypox?
First off, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So monkeypox is what's known as an orthopox virus. So we've known about monkeypox for decades now. There's been some small-scale outbreaks, some small-scale circulation of this virus in Africa. So it's originated in Africa. We're not sure exactly where it has come from. We believe in rodents. It's also been found in monkeys, hence the name monkeypox. But this is really the first time that it's caused a worldwide, well, pandemic, as labeled by the World Health Organization, and has spread across the world rapidly, including here in the United States. Now, this orthopox virus family is similar. One of the other members in it is smallpox. And so, of course, smallpox has mostly been eradicated from this from the world. It's only held in certain places, repositories, but they're in the same family. Now, smallpox is incredibly deadly and very infectious. Monkeypox is less infectious and also less deadly, but they're part of the same family.
And with that information that you just provided us with, how does someone get monkeypox and what are the symptoms?
So monkeypox is spread largely from skin to skin, intimate contact. It's also spread through prolonged droplet contact as well, so respiratory secretions, and also through contact with other infected objects as well. So for example, bed sheets, clothing, linen, things that have been in contact perhaps on a person's body with monkeypox, as well that can be spread to other people. So when someone has symptoms of monkeypox, a lot of times, but not always, a lot of times people have what's known as a prodrome before they have the rash. So what is a prodrome? Prodrome just means that people have things like fever, headache, general malaise, just not feeling well. And that prodrome often precedes a rash that can then develop into the classic signs and symptoms of monkeypox, which is a pimple-like rash. And as we learn about monkeypox, and we're still learning over time as more data becomes available, monkeypox can really present as a spectrum of disease. So some people get the prodrome, but not everyone. And the rash can be very variable. And in a few percent of cases, people just don't have rash at all. But the classic rash is this development of pimple-like lesions over one's body, and they can vary from being a single, you know, pimple-like lesion to many and multiple, and occasionally it can be very severe. In fact, in some strains of monkeypox, the mortality rate can be up to 10%. Now, we got lucky with the current strain. It tends to have a much lower mortality rate. In fact, to the current time, there's been very, very few people, less than 1%, far less than 1% of people that have actually died from monkeypox. But monkeypox can cause extreme pain. It can cause significant scarring. People can end up in the hospital. And in rare cases, it can also cause people to die as well.
You just gave us a lot of information to think about. What is so unusual about this current outbreak that we are experiencing?
I think there's a number of things that have been unusual. I think first thing is that, again, as I mentioned, monkeypox has been circulating in Africa for decades and causing some smaller scale outbreaks here and there. I think what's so unusual about the current outbreak is that it's really spread on a global scale, and it's really been able to persist. I mean, the first cases were earlier this year, and we're now months into it, and we haven't been able to control it yet, unfortunately. Again, I think one of the good news is that there was this other strain of monkeypox that actually had a pretty high mortality rate, up to 10%. And I think that we've gone lucky to some extent that the strain that's currently circulating has a much lower mortality rate.
As we head into the 2022-23 academic year, what should higher education administrators, faculty, and students know about monkeypox?
I think one of the first things to keep in mind as we head into the academic year, and certainly for everyone involved in the educational system, is just which groups are being affected most. And I think what we're seeing at the current time is that gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, and especially those that have multiple sex partners, are being disproportionately impacted by the current monkeypox epidemic. And so certainly for students, staff, faculty, anyone involved in education, they just need to be aware that if they fall into this group, they may be at higher risk by nature of the sexual contacts. We are seeing monkeypox being spread and associated with sexual activity because of that close skin-to-skin contact. We don't think that monkeypox is per se sexually transmitted. The term that I've been using is more sexually associated. So obviously when you're close to someone and rubbing and have skin-to-skin contact, is that you can transmit monkeypox and frankly other things as well. So I think the first thing that people in institutes of higher education should be aware of is just to be aware of which groups are most affected, to do some messaging to those groups to make them aware of signs and symptoms. If people have the rash and they're suspicious or concerned about monkeypox, they should get tested. And as vaccine becomes available, people who may be at higher risk should certainly consider being vaccinated against monkeypox.
With the current knowledge we have of monkeypox, how can we prevent the spread of the disease on campus?
I think there's a lot of things that that schools can consider about how to prevent monkeypox. I think just educating people in general, students and faculty, about what monkeypox is, signs and symptoms, to be on the lookout for it. Reminds me of one thing that we often say during the COVID pandemic, which is if you have symptoms, if you're sick in any way, you should get checked out. Don't be around others. Don't go to parties. Don't have sex if you have symptoms of a rash, and certainly if you have a rash consistent with monkeypox. So I think education and awareness go a long way. Testing, making sure that there are testing protocols that if monkeypox, there is a case, that there's access to testing somehow, somewhere, that there's a protocol for that. And also that there's, I guess, similar to COVID, is that when a student or someone else in the school system is identified, that there's some protocols in place of how to do a case investigation, how to figure out who the contacts will be, is there a point person working with the public health departments, et cetera. I also tell people that there are treatments. There is a treatment for monkeypox, a drug called Tecovirimat, also known as TPOX, and that this treatment is thought to be, although we're still learning more about it as time moves on, this treatment is thought to be safe and effective against monkeypox. So ensuring perhaps that folks on college campuses have access to testing and treatment for monkeypox, I think, is a big step.
What should the general campus population be aware of, as most of the nation is back to in-person, face-to-face classes?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that we're all very tired after the COVID pandemic, which is still ongoing. And so I think it's just, it's too bad that we're experiencing another infectious diseases outbreak. I think similar to the general population, just being aware of the risks of infectious diseases and the importance of infection control. I think, you know, one learning experience that I think people went through in general during the pandemic was just learning about the importance of basic infection control approaches, washing your hands, not going out if you're sick, and staying home, and, you know, getting tested, getting checked out if you have symptoms of something. So I think all these are really important. I think monkeypox, you know, we're not sure where it's going to go. We're not sure what's going to happen with it. I think many of us are hopeful that we can control it and it just goes away. Again, it's not as infectious as COVID. That's a good news. It's a different type of virus, so it's not going to mutate as fast or as rapidly. We do not anticipate that there's going to be multiple variants of monkeypox, you know, similar to what we saw, are seeing, have seen with COVID. So I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. And I think as long as students, faculty, school leaders are aware of monkeypox, take some appropriate precautions, make sure there's access to appropriate clinical service, make sure there's appropriate access to vaccines, that we should be okay, especially on school campuses.
Phil, what else do we need to know?
I'm going to be optimistic about this whole situation. I think as we've seen with COVID, what's been different than COVID is that we already have what we believe is an effective vaccine out there, and a vaccine that we're ramping up and have been administering across certainly the country. So I'm optimistic that we're in a much different place. Again, the virus itself is different. It's not as infectious. So I think if we think through this, if we do some basic preparation, if we do some basic education and awareness, and certainly have appropriate access to clinical resources like testing, like vaccination, I think we'll be okay. I will say, though, I think that this, again, similar to COVID, similar to, you know, avian influenza, similar to a lot of things, this is yet another example of an emerging public health infectious disease threat. And I think just speaks to the need that we need strong public health systems, that we need to all work together to recognize and prevent and treat these threats as they emerge. You know, it's one of those things, again, similar to COVID, which emerged from China. You know, this infection has emerged from Africa. And I think we are seeing, again, yet another example of how connected we are across the world and how important it is that we work together to address these emerging diseases before they can gain a foothold in our population.
Phil, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe to On Campus with CITI program to stay in the know. I also invite you to review our content offerings regularly, as we are continually adding new courses and webinars that may be of interest to you. All of our content is available to you anytime through organizational and individual subscriptions. You may also be interested in CITI program's Responsible Conduct of Research Facilitator Guides. These guides provide resources and guidance for developing and facilitating in-person or virtual RCR training sessions. Please visit the CITI program's website to learn more about all of our offerings.